Angie, congratulations on all the success of 2013.
Thank you.
Now, coming up tomorrow, I understand, is a huge deal for you on the Bio Channel. Tell me about it.
It's called I'll Haunt You When I'm Dead. That's the name of the show. The episode is called The Exorcist, where I play Lisa, an exorcist, and it's a reenactment show, so it's someone's actual account of events they claim that happened. So it's one of those fun shows, for sure.
Now, this is going on even as you are also, you have been involved in lots of CSI these days.
Yes. I have taped several days of CSI, which will just be a few scenes because that's how it works in TV time. But I will be on the season finale of CSI, and the episode is called Skin in the Game. It airs on CBS on May 15th.
Now, this resurgence in your Los Angeles-based career comes after a year of a fairly serious medical situation for you.
That's right. A year ago, 14 months ago, I was having open heart surgery in Indianapolis. I had to see a specialist there. It's a congenital defect, and I became very symptomatic very rapidly. I ended up having severe damage to my heart, but luckily and thankfully, I'm so blessed it was repaired, and I feel better now than I felt in many years.
It's been quite a ride, it sounds like. You grew up in Western Kentucky, and you say that you began yearning to be in the entertainment business in your elementary school days. Now, how would you know that?
Well, I went to Sharp Elementary in Marshall County. I was always writing plays, begging my teachers, please let me read these stories I wrote while we wait for the school bus, or I'm going to put on a skit, let's do it, and the teachers would allow me to do that. And I even wrote little books, and the librarian was generous enough to let me, to tolerate me and put them in there to be checked out. And so I remember doing all that from a very early age. When I was like 3 years old, I looked behind the TV looking for the people. I was like, I want to go to that land. I want to do that. So I'm out here now. So, you know, I'm full circle.
You were in Murray State University, and it sounds like maybe you took some time off and moved to Hollywood in 2004 and then came back and finished your degree. Is that what happened?
Yes, I was very close to graduating. I'd been 4 years, and I called myself a dean's list dropout. I was on the dean's list. I had a 4.0, and I dropped out, came to L.A., never felt right with the situation because Murray State allowed such immense personal growth for me. It never settled right with me. So whenever I began to get sick, I was like, this is the opportunity to finish my degree, and I did.
Well, with honors, and shortly after another really bad year for you when your four-year-old nephew passed away with a very strange-sounding disorder?
Yeah, he had childhood cancer, lymphoma. It's a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma called Burkitt's lymphoma, very rare. And he had one of the most aggressive cases at that time in America. I think the doctor said in the top 10. He had such a hard battle. They would take the cancer out and grow back within 24 hours. This went on and on for 6 months. He fought very hard. He had a 90% chance of living when he was diagnosed. So we all expected, you know, a much better turnout. But he did pass away a week before his fifth birthday in 2009. But very hard on me. I was his caretaker. It felt like he's my son, you know. And so it was very, very hard on me. A lot of things started happening in my personal life, and I got sick after that. As far as family deaths, my father passed away, and just several things got me really down. And then I got ill myself. And so to be back and feeling this good about life and full of zest and wonder again is amazing to me. So I'm living it large.
Well, even after that tragedy in your life, you turned that around into creative output with Goodbye, Wendell, and that picked up a directing career that had started with Gone Like Solomon in 2007. So you're interweaving creative output with what's going on in your personal life pretty consistently.
Yeah, I need distractions from things that happen to me. And I feel like art is a way to do that, and it, you know, to express myself. I dedicated Goodbye Wendell to him in the end credits to my nephew. I felt like on one hand I probably shouldn't be doing this because I don't feel I'm at my best self. I can't focus. But at the same time, it was the exact right time to do it because of that at the same time. So I found ways to, yes, to take, you know, a distraction and turn it into something that I think touched a lot of people in the area. It was a local film. I shot it locally in Murray in Paris. Yeah, it was a turning point.
I take it that your comedy Cougar Woman followed Goodbye Wendell?
It did, and it was so fun. I'm always doing such serious movies, and I wanted to make fun of myself because I'm always finding myself having crushes on celebrity guys that are like 20 years old. I'm like, and I'm 38, so I'm like, you know, we're going to make fun of me, and we're going to do that in this film, and we're going to do it, because it's the cougar craze. We were kind of like, you know, lightheartedly laughing at it and doing like a spoof of it. And we had an actress, Elizabeth Thomas, from the Murray area, play Cougar Woman, because she was up for it. She was having fun, and so every time the cougar sees her prey, she turns, this woman, she turns into an actual cougar. She grabs a Mercury cougar. So we had a lot of little things in there that were quirky and fun. I loved doing that, yeah.
Where can we see that today?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, right.
I know the trailer has a lot of hits. And if you go to the trailer, there's a link also to go to the full film. It's a short film. It's only 5 minutes, so everybody's got time for that, I guess.
And I bet on YouTube we can see the second video by Jeff Bell to his song Another Year that you filmed in Nashville?
Yes. He's an artist out of London, England. He's a folk artist. And so I love his music. It reminds me like a mix of like John Prine and Bob Dylan. And so I find that, you know, rare in today's music. So I wanted to do that. So I went to Nashville. This was the beginning when I was very sick and couldn't do much. So I was like, I know Nashville really well, and it'd be a great place to do a music video. So we went there and filmed it. Had an actor from Los Angeles fly out, Tony McGowan, and we did that. So it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Now, with all of this behind you, I know you must have all sorts of irons in the fire for the future. You care to share any of those?
My plans, which I've learned not to plan much, but what I'd like to happen is that I would do a lot more TV work. I love the pace of television. I like doing films, but TV suits me so well. We do the scenes, we move on, you know, and we get a lot done. And I like that pace. I'm now SAG-AFTRA eligible, so I will be doing that at the end of summer. And hopefully in the fall I'll be doing more television primetime.
How exciting is that?
It's wonderful. I've wanted to do this forever. I got a little setback, and I decided I wasn't going to let it get me down, that I could come back and try again. And I've only been here since January of this year. I've already had more work come my way than many years before when I was here, you know, just waiting for a role. You know, I think it's because I found a niche. I'm a character actor. I'm embracing that, and I'm, you know, using it as a vehicle to get to do what I want to do.
What was the project for which you portrayed Mama Cass?
Oh, that was California Dreamin' was the title. It was a little film project for New York Film Academy. They have a close working relationship with Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank. So I played Mama Cass. I never thought I could play Mama Cass, but it was so fun. And the crazy thing about that is on the train out here in January when I was moving back, I listened to that song on loop by the Mamas and the Papas. And I thought, you know, I think I could play Mama Cass. I was like, I bet I could. The first role I got cast in out here was for Mama Cass. When I saw that role come up, I said, I have to submit. I probably won't get it. But I did, and I was just very excited about that. That was so fun. We got to dress in the 60s retro attire, and it was actual actually from the 60s. I got it from a costume shop in Hollywood, and it was just, the colors were so gorgeous. You don't see colors like that anymore.
Now you
it was awesome.
You said you went to Sharp Elementary. Where did you go to high school?
Marshall County.
Tell me something. What did you enjoy most about growing up in Western Kentucky?
I love the freedom, the spaces. I'm so thankful that I grew up in Western Kentucky. I love the people. I used to climb up into my grandma's tree in the front yard because I was a little monkey and write novels and little, well, they were little short stories then. They eventually became novels. And just have that openness of the land and the landscape and not feel like I was ever confined, you know, because I'm the kind of person, Don't Fence Me In is my song, my theme song. So just being able to grow up there with the friendly, colorful characters of Kentucky made me the writer that I am. I really believe that, and I'm just very glad for having that experience.
Angie, thanks very much for making time for me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love WKMS.